down from the spear point she had been setting to a new shaft, her eyes wide and apprehensive. Aethon, who had ridden out to hunt on this bright midsummer day.
How?
In the same way as the old king. Lorne's face was nearly white, like bone against his dark hair. Her stomach clenched.
That I do not believe.
Not like that. But he rode onto a stag's horns, and it was not an accident. Clamrai shivered, cold where before she had been contentedly soaking up the summer warmth. On the seaward side of Perthcerrig, the cries of gulls echoed in a raucous chorus above the fishing boats coming in below the cliffs.
Why?
She asked Lorne, but she knew.
I don't know.
Lorne's voice was anguished, but he knew, too. In regret for the bargain he made, maybe.
I made that bargain, with the Roman governor,
Clamrai said. Not that one. With the old king. Likely Aethon has felt his breath on his neck since. Clamrai closed her eyes for a moment.
That was the old king's choice. I dressed him for his death, Lorne, and if you are right, this is Aethon's choice.
Perhaps I am not right. Lorne stood uncertainly in the doorway, as if looking for a different door to go out of again. They were in the upper sleeping quarters of Perthcerrig, in the chamber of the king's captains, strewn with hunting spears and pony bridles, half-mended boots, and the untidy leavings of meals. He was the youngest of them. He had been a boy when Bendigeid died, but he had watched with his mother's hand on his shoulder. It was a great thing to say that once you had seen a king making, seen a king die in the old way that had not been done for generations. That day had sealed Aethon's right to the kingship in a way no other succession could have done, and persuaded the Romans to make a peace that did not include a puppet ruler of their choosing.
Despite that Aethon is of the royal house, Clamrai said, he did not wish for the kingship. He took it for all our sakes.
She wondered if he had been glad of the chance to hand it away again, even in death. If it had been in his mind over the last years, it must have been. The Roman governor in Britain had been executed on the emperor's orders 2 years since, and he had not been replaced. Roman troops were taking ship for wars elsewhere. Aethon had taken advantage of Rome's distracted eye to rebuild some of their defences and to stockpile grain and iron. But the act that had sealed Aethon to the kingship had sealed the Silures to the peace. A new king would free them of it.
They are bringing him back, Lorne said. Rodri and Clu are with him. Puith and Gwydion are downstairs. I came ahead to tell you.
And see if I could find you a way out, Clamrai thought.
They will take him to Dinas Tormen, she said as gently as she could. Lorne looked like a horse balking at a gate.
You have some time yet.
And if I say no?
Ask Ternon what will follow if you do, Clamrai said.
Ternon is older than the mountains, Lorne snapped. He sees things no one else does.
He is supposed to,
Clamrai said.
And he is still here, although the Romans have outlawed the Druids. That should tell you something. Even I am afraid of Ternon.
Lorne sat down beside her on the bench, pushing aside the tangle of old bindings and the pot of oil she was rubbing into the new shaft. She moved her feet aside to make room for him. Clamrai had been captain and counsellor to the old king and then to Aethon. Her hair was greying now, and like all the king's captains, cut at shoulder length and tied back with a red thong. She wore woolen shirt and breeches, and catskin-lined boots with an antler-handled knife sheathed in the right one.